once again, welcome to the Bunmuir RFC podcast. This week, the first 15 took on Stirling County at home at Meggetland. And unfortunately, having the privilege of becoming an old man, I wasn't there. I was off celebrating my birthday. Simon, what were your impressions of the game?
Well, first and foremost, it was fantastic to get a win. Those frustrations at the end, because we had chances to get the bonus point, which may in the end be crucial, and we didn't press home that advantage. Once we'd confirmed the win, we sort of took the foot off the gas.
Was it a realistic opportunity to go for the bonus?
Yeah, we scored the third try on the 80 minutes, but it was 5 or 6 minutes of injury time, and we really had Stirling on the rack, particularly up front. I think it was very realistic, and you could hear Fergus in the stands, get ready, go for the fourth try. It was very much a realistic chance. I think we had 5 or 6 minutes to go for that. Unfortunately, we took the foot off the gas, and it was actually Stirling who got the try in injury time.
And all the reports that I've read, including your own match report on the website, have said that this was built on a superb forwards performance.
Yeah, we were the better pack in the first half. We were absolutely dominant in the second half. The front row were superb. I think they were actually unlucky to twice be penalised at scrums on the Stirling 5-metre line, simply, in my eyes, for beating Stirling. Mm-hmm. They got given twice for driving in at the scrum. I don't think they were. They just splintered the Stirling pack, but the referee saw it the way he saw it. They were absolutely dominant. I think they ended up getting a penalty try. It was just three textbook scrums.
Indeed,
there was nothing that Stirling could do to prevent it, really.
George Clark caught that very well on video, and the video is on the website for anyone who hasn't seen it, and all three scrums are recorded consecutively. I think probably the unhappiest person in the ground must have been Jamie Swanson, because undoubtedly he was going to score.
I think the sense of pride there was a pack that they had so destroyed. It wasn't an opportunist penalty try. It was something that they'd been building towards, and that they'd been continually exerting pressure on the set piece, because we also stole 4 or 5 of Stirling's lineouts. Will Kaywood was superb there, and in and around the ruck as well. We just grew as the game went on. I think Alex Henderson was absolutely fantastic, and Ali McLeod did a lot of work on the ground as well.
So. Yes, yeah, quite a changed back row. If you think of the starting back row at the beginning of the season,
was Roger, Rose, and
I think you had Jamie at 6, Ian Moody at 8, and Andy Rose at 7. And you've only got one of those players now in the back row on Saturday, and he's playing in a different position.
Yeah.
That's good strength.
Absolutely, and it's pleasing as well to see Will Kay come on in the second row. His hat-trick last week. He had a good game this week, as I say, particularly in the set piece. Because there are times, I think it's fair to say, when he struggled with the step up.
Yeah, I think at times he's been a little under-physical, shall we say. But certainly that's something that is developing well in his game. I was thinking, actually, as I was driving home earlier on this evening, and I was thinking that you could say the same about Will Kay as you could say about the team. To have one good performance is a good survival strategy. And to beat, in this case to beat Stirling, is a good survival strategy. For Will to score a hat-trick, that's a great strategy for staying in the team. It's the ability to do it consistently, to put a good run together, that makes for a decent season.
Absolutely.
Will's leading the team here, because obviously he's starting to do that, get that consistency, put a good run together, make it difficult for others to get back in the team.
And it's fair to say as well that George Turner has instantly become a crowd favourite. Obviously this was his first game at Megatland for the first 15, and in about the third or fourth minute he just went on a charging run, smashed through a couple of tackles. You know how much a crowd loves that, and he did it three or four times during the match, including one superb break in the second half which should have led to a try were it not for a forward pass later on. But he looks like a real prospect. His line out throwing was perfect, his work in the front row was excellent, and his work around the loose, to be honest, reminded one of Sean Crombie.
And of course Sean will be back soon, and that's going to be some tremendous competition, because with Greg Jones and Mike Brown as well, you know, that's four hookers with first 15 capabilities. Yeah. That's going to be great. But let's not get carried away. It's one win. It's a good win. It's not a great win. It's a good win.
It puts us in that mix of the lower half of the table. You know, you've got Aki sitting in fifth on 15 points. Dundee sitting in ninth on 11 points. Aberdeen have the potential to get cut adrift quite quickly.
Yes, I were I an Aberdonian, I would be starting to get...
The fact that they haven't won a game yet, you know, they're picking up bonus points, they've drawn a game. The fact that they haven't won anything yet would be very, very worrying. We're sitting there on 11 points here, so there's that, you know, five teams separated by 4 points. I think there's going to be a battle between those five teams. One would maybe expect Dundee to pull away from it.
Well, maybe going on not past necessarily, four. Because at the moment they're not playing. Although they beat us and on the scoreline certainly beat us quite convincingly, until the massive disruption to our pack, we were the better team.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, the coaches are well aware that it's being able to put in that level of performance consistently. You know, talent-wise, I don't think there's that much between any team in the league.
No, I would agree with that.
It's being able to put in that level of performance consistently, which Ayr are doing, which Gala are doing, which Melrose are doing, which were not.
And it's not just consistently week on week. It's consistently throughout a game.
Yeah, this was by far the closest we've got to an 80-minute performance this season. You know, it was probably a 70 to 75-minute performance, and that's why we came out with a victory.
Yeah, and you know, whilst everyone wants the 80-minute performance, it's unrealistic to expect that every week. Even the very best teams don't achieve that. But you do expect or hope the side can put in sufficient in a game to... You know, to get ahead, to build on it, not just slacken off.
And hopefully now with a second win under their belts, that they can believe in themselves that they can do that.
As you say, talent-wise...
But it's going to be, as we'll come on to later, a very difficult game going down to Melrose.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. Talent-wise, there is little to choose between most of the teams in the league. Obviously... Consistency plays a massive part. Tactics, application, call it what you like. The odd moment of genius and flair.
Yeah.
I mean, the try that George Turner scored, I mean, okay, credit to George, he was on the end of it, but what a wonderful team move that was. Yeah. Forwards and back.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it was just turnover ball, which is so often the best place to attack from, and we shipped it out to Mark Hare. Him and Jordan Webster made a great break. Jordan, I think, realised he wasn't going to get the, you know, in the situation, wasn't going to get to the line, so cut inside to make the angles easier for his forwards.
And then you get a second row, you get Ali Davidson, provides the link man and gets quick ball, gets it away, and keeps the move going.
Yeah.
You know, instead of so many big tall trees who would have just collapsed on it and set up the rock. He didn't. He kept it going.
No, that was a fantastic score. And I mean, you know, amidst all the talk of what was a fantastic forwards display, it shouldn't be overlooked that the backs had actually played very well as well, because Sterling had obviously watched a lot of video of us, because they had a very definite tactic to get up fast and wide in defence to try and stop us getting around them. And we played that perfectly. We had people coming in for the short pop ball off Ali Warnock. Ali tried the chip over the top quite a bit. You know, I'm very, very nearly set up two or three tries doing that. You know, had people caught the ball, then we would have been in for another couple of scores. So tactically in the backs, we actually manoeuvred around Sterling's plan for us quite well.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's, as I say, tactics is a part of it, and if we can react like that and play tactically cleverly, then that's got to be good. I mean, you know, there's still a long way to go in the season, but a third of the way through, there's still a dozen games to go. Yeah. There's a lot of points to play for, and whilst we want to move up the table, the first and paramount thing is not to move down the table.
I think getting off the bottom of the table, not becoming a regular fixture at the bottom of the table, will have been a big psychological boost. We dropped there for a week, but we got straight back out.
Yeah, and I think that's really important.
Well, after the game on Saturday, I spoke to flanker Ali McLeod and coach Fergus Pringle about their thoughts on the game. Ali, that's Bournemouth's first win at home this season. It must feel good.
Yeah, it does feel good. I mean, I've been playing in the twos a lot, and it's good to come into a side and finally get the win. I think we really pulled together. It's hard graft out there today.
Yeah. It looked like we had a measure of domination up front, certainly in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the set piece was very good, and we got the penalty try off the scrum in the end. I mean, it makes a lot easier, an easier day when you've got scrum going forward and the backs can play off it.
And maybe a little frustration not to get the bonus point in the end, but if we'd been offered 4 points at the start, we'd have taken it.
Oh yeah, I mean, we were chasing the bonus point, but first things first, we got the 4 points and a win, and looking to go forward from there.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Fergus, the first home win of the season, that must feel pleasing.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
You know, it looked like we had quite a measure of forward domination, certainly in the second half. That, you know, was the platform we built on, really.
I would say, you know, the last few weeks our set piece has been inconsistent. You know, I think that was the case at Gala, at Curry. You know, lineouts and scrums I thought went really well today, and they definitely gave us a platform.
Was it maybe slightly frustrating not to press home the advantage and get the bonus point?
I was definitely frustrated on the side of the pitch. Kind of, I thought we had a few opportunities there to kind of really finish them off, and we didn't take them. And a better side might have come back and make us pay.
And it's going to be a tough trip down to Melrose next week.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, in this league you can't focus too much on who you're playing, and I think anyone can beat anyone on their day. And the thing I've pointed out to the guys in there and try to highlight is, we have to be able to produce that intensity every week. We can't do it every second week, every third week. And I think just the sides up at the top of the league, they can play to that intensity and that level every week. And we just need to get our consistency up. So I'll really be challenging the guys to back that up, you know, this coming week.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Cool.
Well, there was no fixtures for the second 15 or the Bears last weekend. Both games were called off, but the second 15, as we speculated last week, have been caught by air in the league. They're both played five, got 24 points, so that's shaping up to be really quite a good battle.
That looks like a contest, doesn't it? I mean, it's great that not playing, the team were able to stay top of the league, but it really is neck and neck with air, and I think that's really shaping up to be, you know, the battle of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if Ayr do go on to win Premier Ayr, it'd be nice to deny them the titles.
You can't have them doing a double, certainly not.
I mean, the twos this weekend are at home to Stirling.
And
Stirling have traditionally been a good second 15, but
they have
been suffering
this year, certainly. I know, looking at their website, they're appealing for coaches at second 15 level, so they do seem to perhaps be a little short on the coaching side. I think they're looking for a backs coach or a player coach. And maybe that's having some effect. Maybe just a generation of players has retired, I don't know that much, but certainly the third off the bottom, six games played, 11 points scored. against the two sitting top with 24 points off five games, let's not be complacent.
Got to be favourites, can't be complacent because Sterling will come and play rugby.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, USA were favourites going into the last round of the Ryder Cup. Had to get it in somewhere.
That's quite well sort of shoehorned in. And we'll move on to the Bears at this point. Again, they didn't play. They still have 10 points from their three games, and they've now played just half the number of games that the team immediately above them in the league, Murrayfield Wanderers, have played.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite reasonably far down the league, but they've played less than everyone else but Selkirk, so I don't see them staying that far down the league, to be honest. I think they'll pick up a couple of wins to equal out the games, and they'll be in the top four or five there, and I think, again, you know, we're looking for coaching help at the Bears level. It's always very difficult to get people to volunteer and give up so much of their time, but if we can get that, I think we've got a good bunch of players. We've certainly got an enthusiastic bunch of players, and it's great to see some of the more mature members of the club turning out to help the youngsters, and not just turning out but doing the job as well.
Yeah, and this weekend the Bears are away to Forrester, who sit having played five games with 11 points, so you know, it's Forrester second 15, you know, it's another game against a second 15 in the league, which I think most of the league is. So it'll be a tough one, but one you'd hope that they could win.
Winnable, you know. Definitely winnable. And of course, the first 15 are down at the Green Yards.
I know. I hate that trip. I mean, I fully expect that the players don't go in with this attitude, but as a fan, I hate that trip, because there always seems to be an inevitability about going there, because we haven't had many good results there.
No, we've come close a number of times.
We rarely get badly beaten, but it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah, we've over the last 3 or 4 years, we've come within one score on more than one occasion, and you know, had sort of kicks in the last minute to win the game. Admittedly, not easy kicks, and you know, not ones you would expect to get. But even so, you sort of had a chance.
What I remember was a good few years back now. Where all we needed to do was from a line out, catch it, kick it to touch, and we'd won the game.
And we were going to win the league if we did that.
And it got charged at him, we scored a try, and the heartbreak of that.
And I think we won the league that year, but I remember that very well. However, we won the Melrose Sevens, and we were there to see it. So.
And it's a lovely place to watch some rugby.
It's a nice ground, they're good people, it's an enjoyable place to go from a social perspective, but don't like losing there. Come on, lads, let's turn it round.
Yeah, you know, they've played six, scored 20 points this season, so they've not maybe had as good a start as they would hope.
Yeah, they've had to come from behind to win a couple of times, and they've lost a couple that they perhaps oughtn't have. I don't think they're quite showing the aura of invincibility that they've had over the last 18 months, 2 years. So, you know, others have beaten them. They were behind going in, I think, to the last quarter of the game up at Rubislaw on Saturday. They did turn it round and they did win.
But there's hope that we can, you know, as we say, talent-wise, in a one-off game, there's no reason why we can't.
Well, we can.
It's all about the mental side of the game for me.
We kept 14 men on the pitch, at least.
We did, I mean,
this week
talking about those two biddings for a moment, I think they were both slightly harsh. I think they were both consistent, I suppose, which is what you'd ask for from the referee. But I think he was quick on both sides to stamp his authority in terms of persistent defending.
It would just be nice to keep all 15.
Well, it would be nice. If we do that, if we go down with the attitude of, we're here to win the game, we're going to play our rugby, and if the forwards can provide even close to the sort of platform that they did against Stirling, then there's no reason why we can't.
Game on.
Game on.
See you next week.